You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Remember, if you gamble, use your game sense. Stay within your limits. Go to GameSense.AB.ca.
Greg Button from TSN, Stanley Cup winner, ace analyst and scout now for TSN, joins us. Butts, how you doing, my man?
I am good, Jason. How are you doing on this positive Friday? Shouldn't every Friday be positive?
Oh, it is. That's why we have positive Fridays. We love it. Yeah, it's good. A little extra special one today with our Pyramid of Giving that we already filled out, which is outstanding. Give me your thoughts, Craig. I know that it looks terrible on the outside because the ice surface is going to be like 3 feet shorter. But I was looking up, like, the international ice surface is actually a few feet shorter, but way wider. So some of these guys have actually played on this length of ice before.
I mean, players have played on shorter ice over the year. Last year in Utah, it was short, I think, by 8 feet as they moved from Arizona to Utah.
Yeah.
And the owners, Ryan and Ashley Smith, said, well, we're going to get that fixed. Everybody was aware of it. I think the issue isn't about, in my view, the issue is not about the length of the ice or what the dimensions aren't. Number one, the arena isn't ready.
Yeah.
And it's not like they announced at the beginning of September, oh, by the way, Milan, you're going to have the Olympics. We need a hockey rink. Number two is, and now we find out about the dimensions being wrong. This is my take on it. The NHL and the NHLPA for years have gone to the Olympics. They've paused their season. The players love playing in the Olympics best on best. We haven't had it since 2014, and there's a lot of excitement around it. I think the disrespect that the IOC and the IIHF and the organizing committee in this situation have shown to the NHL and the NHLPA and the players is wrong. And so I know the players want to go and play. I think it just bothers me that you could have so much disregard for these professional athletes and for what the NHL and the NHLPA have done for years to be a participant. And keep in mind, for years, with very little to no return from the IOC. So right. That's where my issue is at. And the arena's not ready.
Yeah.
So, again, we're sitting here on December the 5th, and the arena's not ready, and now we have this issue coming up. You're right. Players can get adjusted and whatnot. I understand that. But I just think that, with respect, the Olympics are supposed to be a big event, and this is how you're treating your hockey players, the best players coming. I know what the Olympics look like in 2018, the men's Olympics in 2022 without the best players. Let me tell you, it's like going and watching low-level hockey.
Yeah, well, I can tell you, I think the biggest scam is that the Olympics moves around all the time. They should have 5 set places and rotate between 5 or 4 in the summer and 5 or 4 in the winter, and they can update it all the time, and that's it. It's a gross overspending all the time, and some of these places host events, and then those facilities are never used again. It's an absolute joke. So I'm with you on this one. It kind of seems typical every year. They go into some place that doesn't have a hockey rink. Like, what the hell are they going to do with that hockey rink when it's gone? Right, like, is it really going to expand the growth of hockey there? I know they like to think it will, but I don't believe it will. So,
I'll tell you a funny story, and it is funny, and I think it's hilarious. So, you'll recall when Wayne Gretzky agreed to do some work in China to grow the sport in China, and so there was I don't know what the guy's name was, and big popular sports columnist, personality. And he said, isn't this funny? He said, yeah, Wayne Gretzky, we know he's been a great player in the NHL. He's going to come over to China and grow hockey in China. He goes, it's like me saying, I'm going to go and pay somebody that's really good at table tennis in China, and he's going to grow table tennis in Canada. He said, it's not happening. And it hasn't happened, and it's not going to happen, and it's not going to grow in Italy. That's the bottom line. So why are we going there to play hockey? Like, and so what I say about that, too, is there's a solution. They can be a host nation,
yeah,
and we're going to have hockey somewhere else. We're going to play hockey in New York, or we're going to play it in London, or we're going to play it in Prague. We're not playing it there. And that way, they mitigate against their costs, and you now don't have to start trying to sell this false dream, oh, we're going to grow hockey here. Yeah, right. Give me a break.
Yeah, yeah. I'm totally with you, man. I'm moving to the National Hockey League, and It's interesting. We're coming up. We're into December now, and there's really not a ton of separation. Like, there's some teams that are, you know, like you look at Florida. They're only 5 points out of third place in their division, but they're dead last in the conference, right? So, what do you make of a team like Edmonton and Florida being back-to-back Stanley Cups? One team's won both, one team's lost both. Edmonton doesn't have the injuries, and Edmonton's last six games, you know, they've shown, okay, we're starting to wake up. Florida Panthers, they're not getting healthier anytime soon, Craig. And they just, their goalie's not playing great. They're having a little bit of trouble scoring here. Any concern about Florida? Do you think, they'll get Tkachuk, they'll get Lostarina back in a few weeks, they'll be fine? Or do you think there's some concern in Florida?
Well, I think the proper way I would position it is just some concern. And here's why. Number one, Tkachuk's going to come back. You know, we know that they'll get some other players back. I mean, Barkov's out for the year. But because it's so tight, Jason, I've never seen the league like this at this point in the season. I mean, why don't we just say there's 20 teams that are all bunched together? We know there's some at the bottom that really don't really have any positive outlook, and that's just where they're at. We have a few at the top that are going to stay there. And then in between, you know, there's 20 teams, and it's so close. I was telling this story. I was listening to the Ottawa-Vegas game last week, and so Vegas started out in the first wild card spot. They lost in a shootout to the Ottawa Senators at home, and because they got a point, they moved up to second place in the Pacific. But can you imagine that? That speaks to how close it is. So that's why I say there's some concern. And when you start to look at how tight it is, you know, you win 3 out of 5, you win 4 out of 6, all of a sudden, now you rise up in the standings. I think that's where, you know, hope might be the wrong word, but where concern might be a little less than if we didn't have it so tight. And 3-point games, you see how many games are going to overtime in the shootout. All of this is keeping things really close. And it doesn't look like it's going to change over the next little while.
No. And I look at them. Then I look at, like, the Edmonton Oilers, Craig, and it just seems like I thought Matthias Ekholm, he's like, it's like we have, like, a thin layer of fog just above us. Like, they were making mistakes of guys like Leon Draisaitl mishandling the puck with no one around him. Like, that just doesn't really happen very often. And, you know, Connor McDavid, to his credit, you know, was pretty annoyed after the Minnesota game because he passed up some really good chances. And came out, and he's like, I'm shooting the puck. He scores a hat trick, and you're kind of like, geez, if that guy shot the puck more, maybe what could happen? But, you know, their power play is good. Savoy scores twice. And you know, the orders seem to be kind of coming around at both ends of the rink.
That's what was necessary. The one thing about the Edmonton Oilers is we know they can play good defense. They didn't get to the Stanley Cup final by accident the last 2 years. And we know how dynamic they are. We know how awesome 97 and 29 are, but really good, strong defensive play throughout their lineup. And they just weren't playing to that level. And certainly the four defensemen, the top four defensemen, weren't coming close to their level. So you were having all kinds of different challenges. So that improves. I was really encouraged watching Matty Savoy last night be able to get a couple of goals. He's had some good chances. He's been dangerous. He hasn't been able to finish, but they're looking for some scoring in other areas. And so that was encouraging. The other thing that I found really encouraging was they were up 3-0 real quick, and then all of a sudden it was 3-2, and I'm going, it's going to be interesting to watch Edmonton. And they put the pedal to the metal. They didn't buckle. They just said, hey, we know what we're doing. So I thought the game against Minnesota was a good game. They didn't score. They lost 1-0. But at the same time, those are the signs that when Connor McDavid says, I believe in this group, well, it's good that you believe in them, and he should. But now you got to demonstrate through your play, good positive play, that you deserve to be believed in. And I think there's some signs there. And we know that they're better than their record has shown, but now they're going to have to continue through that.
Craig, we were asking about Matty Savoy, and Wani had asked, you know, like, guys that you think, hey, maybe he could be like. And, you know, it came up with guys like Matt Zuccarello. Right, because I like to, you know, smaller players, very skilled player, you know, Jordan Eberle. And now you look at Savoy, he was drafted higher than both of them, which, you know, gets you a quarter at the vending machine, and that's about it later on. But when you look at Savoy, and it's super early in his career, but when you look at, like, a projection of a guy like that, what do you see in Savoy down the road?
Well, he's really fast. He's got speed that can open up a lot of ice. He's got threatening speed that can put defenders on their heels. And he's always been a good goal scorer.
Yeah.
I know at times, you know, there was thought, oh, is he a center? I've always thought he'd be really good on the wing. That doesn't mean he might not be able to play center, but I always thought that he'd be really good on the wing. And now you get him the puck, you get him into open ice. He'll take the puck to the net. He's got a hunger to his game. He's got a skill to his game. And when you think about, I mean, Jordan Eberle could slow things down, a really good playmaker. And yeah, Zuccarello has that ability to hold the puck. I don't think either one of those guys skated as well as Matty Savoy.
Agreed.
So, you know, maybe a little bit of a cross between Matty Savoy, Jordan Eberle and Nikolai Ehlers. Because Nikolai, when he got that puck, you know, he put and maybe a combination with that speed. But I love Matty's speed, and I love the fact that he can use that speed to put opponents right on their back foot.
Before we let you go, I know you're in Winnipeg right now, and people will be watching on the TV intermission in about 7 minutes as I'm watching the clock in the game. But those two teams, the Jets are playing the Oilers tomorrow. It'll be their sixth game in 9 days. There's no Hellebuck. They're going to go with the rookie Milic, and the Oilers' offense has woken up. Might not be the best matchup. What do you make of the Jets' concern in Winnipeg? And then anything you're seeing in Buffalo, can Josh Norris help them, or is this another wasted season?
No, well, Josh Norris can help them. I mean, one of the things that's plagued Buffalo, I'll get to Winnipeg here quickly. One of the things that's plagued Buffalo is they show you some good stretches, and then they show you these bad stretches. And if you can't stretch out the good and shorten the bad, you're going to just be where they've been at. And until they demonstrate, until they show me that they can stretch out the good, I'm not buying them. It's too long, it's too much, and it's too often. The Winnipeg Jets, who have been a real top-notch defensive team for the previous two seasons, are absolutely abysmal defensively.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, their defensive play, and again, we talked about the Oilers. So the Winnipeg Jets sit here, and you're watching, and you're going like, wait a second, you know they can be better than that, and they haven't been better than that. They get walloped in Buffalo on Monday night. This game starts off giveaway after giveaway after giveaway after giveaway by the Winnipeg Jets. And they say, yeah, we're aware of it. And they're another team. So they show you a little glimpse of, okay, this is what we're going to get back to and we can be good. And then they just slip right back into what they are. I will say this right now. The Winnipeg Jets start out the game like they did in Montreal Wednesday, and they start out the game like they did tonight against Buffalo. Again, tomorrow night in Edmonton, Edmonton's going to have a field day scoring goals. A field day.
quick, for fun, is Scheifele going to make the Olympic team for Canada?
Well, that's what I would say. What I would say is I don't think there's any question he should be on the team. I think the fact that you have Sidney Crosby that looks like he's going to be on the left wing with MacKinnon, and we saw that at the Four Nations, I think that and then the play of Scheifele is so good, and I just think that what he's done in the course of this year for the Winnipeg Jets in so many different areas, we know MacKinnon, McDavid, MacKinnon are the top two. Where do you go after that? I think that the Scheifele fits absolutely firmly right after those two guys. And whether Suzuki goes in the next spot or Scheifele goes in the next spot, I have Celebrini playing on the wing.
Yes.
And so, you know, I just think that Mark has played too good not to be on that team.
Awesome stuff, Craig. We appreciate it. Have yourself a great weekend.
Thank you, Jason. You have a great weekend, too.